Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. The goal of my show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you, and get you in the right mindset so that you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose.
Hi there.
Hi. So, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. My name is Kong Chong. I am the host of the show. The goal of my show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you to act, and get you in the right mindset so you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose. Now, today's guest is what we would consider an alternatively, she would consider herself as a storyteller in chief and chief articulation officer by her colleagues. Her name is Haley, and Haley is currently helping to build a sexy outsourcing company called Invisible Technologies. Her career spans nearly a decade working at intersection of talent and social innovation, where she helped hire innovators to Ashoka and helped develop a curriculum on passion, purpose, agency, and belonging for high schoolers. Haley is passionate about the future of work, comedy, and civic dialogue. Ask her about Whistle, the company she led 10 years from now, or the best place to dance. Haley, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for braving my long bio.
I was so excited to, get you on the show just because of your unique background. And yeah, your bio is just amazing and I love reading it. So I'm curious though, obviously we didn't, we don't really know each other, right? Other than the initial call from last week. And so I'm curious, what made you said, yes, let's do this podcast?
Well, you had me at your topic for one. Anybody who's trying to get people to, purpose isn't really something you can give to people. It's something you can help people find. And I felt like you were putting out a lot of signals, like a lot of radar. It also looked like you'd had a bunch of great conversations with great folks. And so I thought, like, what an honor to join the dance. as it were, the metaphorical right. dance.
Of course. I love that. And how I see it, life is a dance, right?
yes.
By the way, I'm curious, what kind of dance do you do? Like hip hop, ballet, what's your...
Oh man, so the thing, do you have things that you love, but that you're like kind of bad at? So one of those for me is hip-hop. So, but the thing is I'm so, when I go out dancing, I can really get lost on the dance floor and other people can feel it. And it has that like Napoleon Dynamite vibe of like being so uninterested in whether you're cool or not, that you're in cool, even if, you know what I mean? So just me like, going bananas on like a hip hop dance floor in a manner that is just so Napoleon Dynamite kind of worked. I don't know why. It confuses me that I haven't learned Latin ballroom yet. And my background is in ballet. So that was like
nice.
Very formative part of my upbringing. I'm from a small town in Georgia. And then I had sort of this teacher who was well-traveled and that craft feels kind of like part of my being.
That's beautiful. That's amazing. Did you start dancing when you were at a young age, or was that something you just kind of like found throughout your adult life and decided to stick with it?
Yeah, I started when I was young, and I am a better performer than I am dancer, but I kind of have that performance magnetism thing. Mm-hmm. And dance was the only place to put that in rural Georgia. Mm-hmm. So in another world, it might've lived in theater, or it might've lived in, some kind of Toastmasters International. Like, I don't know. But in rural Georgia, the stage for me was a dance stage.
Wow, that's incredible. And it's so beautiful to hear your journey, just because I think we all have to move our body in order to be in tune with what our heart desires, and also with our mind, right? I mean, there's a lot of science that backs this up. I mean, the more you move your body, the more creative you get in terms of how you go about your days. And I'm glad that you're able to find an activity that helps you in that arena. How does that, speaking of how it helps you with, your, I guess your ways of thinking about how to approach a problem or how to deal with a certain situation, what has been that association from getting your body to move to, getting you to be creative and energy? Can you share with us just experience?
It's funny. The thing that comes to mind, it's really timely. I was just on the phone with an old friend of mine, and we were talking about facilitation. Mm-hmm. And I kind of likened it to a disappearing act. Mm-hmm. So as much as in some ways I belong on the stage, I'm also someone who sets the stage or who's behind the scenes and really thrives in like a listening role, a facilitation role. I joked and said, my friends say that I'm the person, I nailed the line on this earlier. People are surprised at how well I listen for how much, given how much I talk. and that's really me in a nutshell, right? But how dance relates to creativity or purpose is, for me, it's an act of deep listening and also kind of disappearance in a way, where when I, and not disappearance in the suppression of self sense, but just in the harmony of self with the world sense. So there, when I dance, there's no faster way. Even if I'm just at a party, I just go somewhere else. And, but it's not an escape. I get very in tune with the music and what's happening, and I notice things I wouldn't otherwise notice. And I find that creativity in our lives and our work is often tied to that, like how well we can listen and make room for what it is that we already know. Right. Funny enough, an example of this that I was just thinking about today, people talk about passion, like it's something that everybody's born with, or that it's you just know what it is, right? And it can be really confusing if you're not there. Like, I've spent many, many years kind of going, what do I care about, right? There's a lot of interest, a lot of evidence that is developed. It's actually something that's grown, and then it's grown by trying things. And trying things is kind of that act of experimentation and listening and trying on different selves. So that's one example of like a place that skill of self-attunement without self-involvement, self-attunement without self-involvement can be really critical.
Let's dive a little deeper into that. So self-attunement with, what was that again?
Without self-involvement.
Without self-involvement. What does that mean? Self-attunement without self-involvement. Mm.
Well, my highest goal in life, you're going to need to talk about something I really care about. I think, so many goals in the world in terms of things I want to do and try, but the phrase that best describes how I want to be, like the posture I want to exist in, is self-expressed without being self-involved. So like, I want to be like very me, putting my gifts out there, totally unabashed, like not wearing a mask in terms of how I show up. People talk about this often in terms of authenticity and leadership, self-expression. But I find that sometimes I have friends who take an inward turn, right? And they'll kind of go on the journey of like, but really, who am I, right? And it takes a little bit of a turn towards Narcissus in the Greek myth. And somehow by seeking to know you, it kind of becomes about you. And what I've observed in the lives of people I admire or is people who really know who they are. They're so grounded in that. They're confident in that. They're expressed in that, you know, but they're kind of content to be a minor character in history, right? As opposed to sort of always wanting to be, you know, the main character the plot turns on. And there's something kind of beautiful and liberating about sort of going, you know what? I am a self-expressed minor character here. You know?
That's awesome. I also says there's also some sort of like detachment in that process. Like
maybe what a great way to put it. I hadn't actually connected the dots there. I think when I hear people talk about detachment, and you're right, it is a kind of detachment from outcomes, things like that. But, you know, sometimes you hear, you ever talk to anybody who's too zen? This happened to me when I was backpacking. I think it was like my first encounter with like a proper Buddhist. And he's so content, but by proper, for any Buddhist listening, I don't mean proper, I mean self-identifying Buddhist. I don't even think he's wearing clothes. I think he was like, I was on the Camino Trail in Spain. I'm pretty sure he was just in a loincloth. And he had that kind of zen that like is super aware of the world around him. And he'll be like, it's fine, but it's like not fine. Or, you know, a lot of times that sort of school philosophy advises the disappearance of the self rather than the fulfillment of the self, right? Where in the West, we tend to be so focused on the fulfillment of self. And what inspires me is that intersection, which is this way that we are individuals, we're involved in our own becoming. But at the same time, we do have a level of detachment and a sense of realism about like, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
It's just not all about, it's not all about us, right? Even at a species level, there's a whole lot of stuff going on with other animals that don't have anything to do with us. You know, like people talk about save the planet. We should talk about like saving the people because the planet's going to be fine, you know?
Right.
It's gonna be to do. We're talking about saving our civilization. We're not, you know, the earth is going to be okay if it just like, you know, is warm. Anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, to that point too, I was just reading, like I was just randomly, like, I think it was like last weekend on a Saturday night, just like randomly browsing on YouTube. And, you know, got me into viewing this clip about the universe, and I realized how small we are as a species compared to the universe, even Earth. And I'm like, you know what? I've got some like, you know, challenges in my life, but they're nothing compared to like, it's so small, right? I mean, the universe is so expansive and so big. And, you know, the past few years I've recently been interested and fascinated with law of attraction and the universe and just energy. And what I've realized throughout the past few years is that that has really really heightened my focus in terms of you know, my presence in the world, and also it's almost like an elevated consciousness awareness, which I didn't have that before. And I now that I think about it, gee, I mean, we are more than our bodies. I truly believe that. And for me, it was just, it had to take some, you know, some life circumstance to make me feel like I'm not doing this alone. Like there's a higher being. I don't know what it is. You can call it God or the universe or whatnot. That's that is guiding me towards this path of evolution. And so do you have like the same experience? Like, have you had like certain situations in your life at one point where you're like, okay, so I see why I had to go through that, because now I needed that, or maybe I learned something from that, or, you know, there's like a point in all of this, right? Because I believe that there's no good or bad experiences, is the meaning you make of it, right?
Yeah.
And now, actually, I should step back. That's, for me, I'm still having a difficult time trying to believe that, but I get what the concept, you know, what people are trying to convey when they say that. Like, there's no good or bad, it's the meaning you make of it, right? Because obviously it's not fair to say that to someone who's going through cancer, right? I mean, good or bad,
yeah, exactly, that's just not exactly fair,
right? And so, yeah. But how we make meaning of it is kind of like, you know that quote that says, everybody has good and bad days. When you have bad days, it depends on your attitude, right? And it's
yeah. kind
of like that in a way. And so I think what the author, the whoever created this quote was trying to say is to get our mindset to shift, our focus to shift into a positive state. Like, yeah, okay, so, you know, this person is going through cancer and that's just crappy, right?
Yeah.
But there's something behind it. There's some meaning behind yeah. it. And we have to find what that is.
Wow, so much content there. And so
like, where do you even start? Like, maybe we can start with like, what's your definition of meaning? Like, how do you get people to tap into that? Was that too big of a starting point?
No, it's fine. It's actually great. I want to add two fun facts from my fake PhD with regard to what you just said. For those of you who are listening, my fake PhD, when I was working at a place called the Future Project, which made its goal to help young people in public high schools have the experience of having a dream and making that dream into reality, no matter how big or small it was. And the idea was that was this transformative developmental milestone that unlocked all sorts of possibilities that didn't otherwise exist. Mm-hmm. So inside that project, I'm on the research team, and it was, I call it my fake PhD because I was going through the material that a typical master's student in, say, positive psychology or social psychology will go through, with a specific focus on passion, purpose, belonging, meaning, and agency. And so that's when I say my fake PhD, what I mean is I spent about 2 years surrounded by an innumerable number of pages on those topics. Mm-hmm. So interestingly, both of the things I wanted to share come from that. One of them, so one point on gratitude, one point on agency, and then we'll shift to a conversation about meaning.
Sure.
So one of the kind of, it's all in how you look at it, like two sort of points to that I think are fascinating. Viktor Frankl, who kind of known as the guy who talks about meaning, says at one point in his writings that choice is the only thing that people can never take away from you. Mm-hmm. And what I think is really interesting is that's something he's writing from Auschwitz. So there's a sense in which some amount of choice is literal, it's material, right? A guy named Sam Chatterjee, I think, has done an incredible amount of work on that in a social context, a guy at Stanford and agency and what that means. But here we have Viktor Frankl in a world where he has the fewest possible choices conceivable. And yet he's telling us that the last thing we ever give up is choice. And I think what he's really getting at there is, you know, I think there are two choices no one can take away from you. Mm-hmm. One is the story you tell yourself about reality, and the other is whether you choose to be grateful. And so I think, you know, the story he's telling himself about what's going on is one where he is actively choosing, and he knows he's choosing what meaning he wants to make out of the event. How does he want to interpret it? How is he going to understand his reality, right? And that, just that interpretive power is a dimension of choice and agency, though it is not the full thing, right? It's one kind that, you know, we really get to retain in almost all circumstances. And I think that's kind of what this, it's all in your attitude is, you know, actually, there are whole lots of things that are good and bad in the world, but the thing over which we have the most influence, the most choice, the most control is choosing how we're going to look at it. As evidenced by Viktor Frankl and Auschwitz. Another fun fact that I learned there. So is with regard to gratitude and why we might consider to have, you know, basically why gratitude is good for you. And I'll start by saying, you know, want to really arrive at a nuanced balance here. We're balancing a lot of complex things and, you know, when to use wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. Which wisdom do you use when, right? It's not as easy as a magic eight ball. Do I let go? Right. Do I hold on? Gratitude. So I grew up in a culture that almost made negative emotions, it made you bad for having negative emotions. Kind of a religious subculture. And so the idea is you want to be joyful. That's what character looks like, right? So there's this idea that, like, if you, it kind of disincentivizes you or encourages you not to feel pain or to feel grief or to feel difficulty, even though religious traditions have such a rich depth of lament, of grief in the best possible way. But one thing that I think they do get right, that's not about toxic positivity or pretending that things aren't hard, is actually what the act of choosing to be grateful can accomplish in your being. So basically, choosing to feel, to be grateful about something, choosing to say thank you, is it can impact your vagus nerve and goes all the way down to the biological level, in terms of, and once you enter that state, your brain can see tons more possibilities than you could see before. So there's a very real biological, scientific, pseudoscientific, as well as we can know in this discipline. It's biological. There's a very real way that your brain in a state of gratitude can see more possibilities, and therefore actually has more possibilities than your brain in a state of ingratitude or scarcity. So one reason to choose gratitude is not because it's consistent with reality. That's not to say, like, oh, cancer is good, or oh, suffering is good, but actually choosing gratitude opens up the number of ways that you can respond to difficulty. So finding some way to be grateful in those moments can be really impactful. Anyway, fun fact about gratitude. You asked how I thought about meaning in life, and that brought me back to the topic of purpose, which you and I talked about in our first call. These are all just like outtakes from the fake PhD, things I'm happy to know. You know, people talk a lot about purpose, meaning, what is it? And a lot of the definitions are very academic. It's how do you get a sense of coherence in life? How do you, you know, it talks about sources of meaning. What I found most helpful was people describing not purpose as an object, as a noun, but purpose as a feeling. And a woman named Heather Mallon, who's a researcher, again, out of Stanford, who comes out of kind of their purpose literature, I think absolutely nails it on this front. I'm going to butcher this, but the gist of what she says is that we feel purposeful when we are taking action on something that is meaningful to the self and meaningful beyond the self, which also gets back to a lot of the things we were talking about earlier in terms of, you know, self-centeredness, not self-centeredness. But I think that's so true. And when I go through my own life and I think about examples and everyone I know, it's always, we feel alive, we feel purposeful when we are in motion towards something that is inclusive of us, right? It cares about Haley and Kong and our story and your story and, you know, this unique growing up experience you had and the fact that you were at Franklin Covey for a while, right? All those details get brought up into the story. My quirks get brought up into the story. But so it's meaningful in our own identities and meaningful in the world beyond. It matters to somebody else. And I think what I love about that is we didn't talk about this a lot, but I used to do a lot of recruiting. And when you're recruiting, you end up in a lot of conversations with people kind of going, oh, what's my life? I mean, you can get really out there in terms of like hearing people's most intimate reflections on their life purpose, and also hearing people treading water or really searching and feeling like this deep fear that maybe there isn't one, right? Like kind of, there's always that fear. What if I can't grip something? What if, you know, it feels like, is there something wrong with me that I can't like find something and grab a hold on? And I noticed that very often when people are spinning, they've fallen out of balance in in one of those things. Maybe they're not in action. That can, if you are not in action on a sense of purpose, you will not feel a sense of purpose.
Right.
And if it is only about you, you can kind of end up in this, do I really matter space, or just trying on options infinitely, right? Not sure. You know, it makes me think of like little kids. I'm like, oh, should I be a ballerina? Should I be an artist? Right. This infinite search for different identities, like at the speed of swiping.
Right.
And it can be really self-involved. And in that way, like you're just Alice down the rabbit hole, you know, a mirror looking back at a mirror, looking back at a mirror, looking back at a mirror. Or, you know, the tradition that I grew up in put a lot of focus on service and sometimes service at the expense of self. I didn't even ask until I was in college what I wanted to do. I didn't even think about it.
Wow, that's incredible. Isn't that weird? So how did you find that balance? Like, what was it, the aha moment where like, I gotta focus on myself. I can't be giving all of me because I won't have any energy to fill my cup full in order to help other people. Like, what was that aha turning point for you?
Oh, great question. I'll finish the thought and then pop right back up there. Yeah, sure. No, you're fine. There wasn't much more. I just want to literally complete the sentence. Basically, to lean too much into servanthood in a way that actually looks like martyrdom is also not a place where purpose lives. And what I love about Malin is she ties them together and helps us think about ourselves as people who contribute to others. Okay, so how does this come about for me? Good Lord. Honestly, a struggle, which is like why I'm a great guest. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of my gifts in life is I'm very, very good at helping people discover their own sense of purpose. And I often felt like an imposter for not being able to scribe one for myself. That's not where I am today, but the click was really slow, right? Like remedial. And really years of existentiating and empathy is something I have to offer. But what I will say on this is not, you know, the answer I've found, but a clue to where to find purpose. So this takes us back into what I've learned about some things I learned in the recruiting space. Often people talk about purpose in terms of identity. It is a noun. It is who I am. It's something I want to possess. I'm a CEO. I'm an astronaut. I'm a tech entrepreneur. I'm, you know, rich. They talk about purpose in terms of what identity can I feel purposeful about? And purpose is much more in the now. It's much more in the realm of action. And so I tell people when they're looking for purpose, stop asking who you want to be. Ask what you want to do. And so the prompt I give people is if you could have just five verbs and that was all you could do the rest of your career, only five, what would you do? Okay, but you have to tell me because I've been, this is a good podcast for actually just conversation. What would you do if you could only have five verbs?
You know, for me, like it's almost like putting myself in a box because I'm so dynamic in terms of my being, right? I mean, to even describe myself in verbs instead of noun is even more difficult.
No, you got this. Shake it out. I don't think you're going to be the only
one. So give an example. Like, give an example.
I want you to describe for me the actions based on what you know of yourself today. What actions, if you could only pick five actions to keep doing for the rest of your career, what actions would you pick?
Haley, I didn't expect that you were going to turn the table. This is about
you and me. Maybe give me one or two.
No, I appreciate you asking it and thank you. You know, that's, you know, for you to turn it around is really skillful and tactful, which is great. I love that. And it's an engaging podcast as well too, which is what this is all about. I would say, I don't know if they would be considered as verbs, but to be in the world and make the biggest impact that I can make while I'm still breathing, living, experiencing.
Impact is a verb.
Okay.
Right, so, to impact something.
Right.
I noticed that you're a great listener.
Thank you. Well, I enjoy you talking. I enjoy, you know, about just your perspective, and you know, you certainly have a lot to offer.
Thank you. So what I'm getting at, go think about this later, because I've done this exercise with tons and tons of people on, you know, what verbs they would choose. And usually it's really people go, oh, I didn't realize I knew so much about me and how I wanted to spend my limited rest of my lifetime, right? Mm-hmm. And it kind of takes the pressure off of, you know, people don't know who they want to be. They don't know what gives them purpose in an ultimate sense. They don't know the grand narrative they're here for that really often can only be seen in retrospect, if at all. Mm-hmm. But people usually do have a great idea of what actions they take that give them more energy than they take away. So a big one for me is the verb name, to name or articulate. And this shows up for me in so many ways. So I work formally in marketing. So, you know, words is a thing I do, right?
Right.
But it's so much deeper than that, because name for me could mean helping a friend wrap words around their gift, helping them describe who they are. Name could be, you know, when you run into a problem in a business context and you know, put your finger on it and go, this is the problem. There's something that just shifts how people can engage. And I think I could spend the whole rest of my career naming. I would just be a namer, you know? But what's helpful about that, right, is I'm not forcing my activity into a predefined lane. I'm not saying, oh, I'm going to be a marketer, or, oh, I'm going to be an entertainer, which is another, you know, people who name are entertainers, or I'm going to be a product manager. Mm-hmm. I have no idea who I'm going to be. And in fact, at my company now, I have like 15 jobs, right? We're a startup. So we do that hat switching thing. It's actually fun. I do sales, marketing, product, but, but in all of them, I'm so consistent. I'm always naming. That's not, you know, I also love to listen to my earlier self-deprecating joke about, being someone who loves to listen and also talk. What else do I love? I love to perform, right? But the set of things that make me come alive is actually not that many. There's a lot of stuff I don't like to do, right? And so when, you know, we talk about people finding a sense of purpose or feeling anchored in who they are, that is, I think, a really big piece of it, is looking at it from the angle of, or looking, not just purpose, also meaning, right? Mm-hmm. Like, looking at it from the angle of, you know, what am I in flow? What am I doing? What are my action words? And very typically, if we can start to kind of go, okay, let's put the pieces together. If purpose is action taken on something meaningful to self and others, then I might look at something like name, right? And go, okay, name is action that I love taking. Who's someone, what's meaningful to me that I could name? What's something meaningful to others that I could name, right? And then you kind of quickly arrive at, wow, maybe I'd love to work in improving the quality of dialogue in this country, right? Like, so it's pretty easy to, rather than think we have to find one ultimate purpose, to think of it instead like a canvas or a container, where as soon as we understand the bounding box, we can populate it with tons of things. Mm-hmm. So just to restate the bounding box there, it's like verbs, right? Action taken. So for me, exploring name as one constraint for the brainstorm. Another is meaningful to the self. So what are some things I value? I value authentic conversation. Mm-hmm. And what's something others value, right? And I think people value harmony or unity or pluralism, or, right? So that's another bounding box. And within that shape, so, you know, thinking of purpose as a canvas, like a bounding box, that we could kind of go, oh man, inside just that box, I can think of 15, 16 things I could do today that would be purposeful, right? And then same exercise, but apply it to your work. Mm-hmm. Look inside your work and say, what verbs do I do naturally anyway? Mm-hmm. Like, what do I just want to do more of? What's something that would be meaningful to me in this workplace, and what's something that others might value, right? Mm-hmm. Because really all work is the way that we contribute to the greater whole. So thinking of it in those terms is pretty sensible. So anyway,
that's beautiful. There's so much that I'd love to unpack in like, I don't even know where to start, but like the insight from how purpose can, the general consensus I'm getting from you is that purpose is something that doesn't have to be big. It could be, you know, I guess stripped into small pieces, and we can glue the puzzles together to make sense of it, right? In that there's changes that kind of, you know, make purpose into what it is. Like it's evolving, right? Like it's not, you know, a one thing and constant thing and a permanent thing. It's evolving because your life experiences change who you are. And so your perception of purpose would change with it, right? And so And I think the meaning in all of that is really the process, is the changes that makes your purpose into something that helps you to be more fulfilled, I think, if I'm conveying that a little.
I think you drew out something really important that I didn't really underscore enough, which is we talk about what's my purpose. Like it's something we can buy at the store, right? Like it's a noun, like it's a thing. But actually what we want, what we mean when we say, what is my purpose, is I want to feel more purposeful in my life. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that solving the problem of how do I choose to feel more purposeful in my life is actually fairly predictable. Like it takes some experimentation, but to your point, you know, there's lots of little ways we can arrange it. It evolves. We can try stuff. Mm-hmm. There are places we can start, right? But like, if I need to go to some sort of cosmic metaphysical grocery store and purchase, you know, and like conceive of like an overarching purpose, right? That live, you know, what could live up to that grand narrative of, you know? So like, right. You don't have to shop for the grand narrative for your life. Mm-hmm. You can actually just look for and allow that to unfold by taking action on things that are meaningful to self and others today. Mm-hmm. And then it emerges like, I have a visual reference in my mind. It emerges like, what's that art technique? Pointillism. It emerges a little bit like pointillism, right? You just
pointillism. What is that?
It's just, it's like some art period where people like, I think it was Seurat, but I'm forgetting. But yeah, basically, it's just a lot of dots, and you zoom out, it's a pretty picture. Anyway, but yeah, the point is, those are dots on a canvas, and then the picture emerges over time, which is really what you were getting at, right? Is like, mm-hmm. you know, it's okay if you don't know today. But right. Guess what? You get to have a purposeful life today before you know what your purpose is, right? And like, you know, good luck figuring that out, right? Like, right. I'll write that on my gravestone.
Well, and to add on to that, it reminds me of one of the quotes that Steve Jobs said in a ceremonial speech to a graduating class, is that what we're going through right now, it may not make sense to us, but, and I'm just paraphrasing, right? Like, it may not make sense to us, but we'll eventually connect the dots looking back and make sense of it, of why we are here today. It's because there were these connections that we had. And so going back to your point, sometimes when I ask guests on my show, what is your purpose? They're like, I don't even know where to start, really. Like, to them, it's like, they don't even know where to start, right? And the beauty in all of this conversation we're having is that it's okay to not know what, you know, our purpose is. It's okay to be on this path of self-discovery. That is the beauty of life. That's the journey. The journey, you know, it's within the journey. It's the path that is where we'll find meaning. and eventually leads us to a, you know, destination fulfillment, right? And I think for people, going back to our notion earlier about attachment, right?
Yeah.
They tend to attach themselves to an identity or like to a certain experience. And this is who I am and I know myself. And when a life circumstance challenges them and knocks them over the head, they're like, oh my goodness, like that just messed up my identity. I don't know who I am anymore. Like, you know, a pro athlete, right? Like, let's say they've been playing football since they were a little kid. They made it to the, you know, the NFL and they get injured. The identity is gone. They're like, oh my goodness, like how can I, you know, move on with life? Like football was the only thing I know. And so we often forget that in this life, we have, everybody has a path, and it's up to us to acquire the skills and the mindset and the people to help us make sense of our path. And until we're able to acquire those skills and, you know, those, have those conversations, we will be in this cycle, this situation of you know, figuring out like, what is my purpose? Like, how do, you know, how can I get meaning out of this life? You know, and people struggle, and I get it. You know, some people go through mental health and anxiety and depression and lack of meaning. And it's because there's some sort of attachment to an identity they had, or because they had thought that they knew where they were going. And life is, you know, it has all these twists and turns, and we have to be open to what we're presented.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, so that self-awareness is critical.
Yeah. One thing that I'm, speaking of retrospect, right? Something I'm grateful for is I'm not really the poster child for purpose, in the sense that when I look back, like basically I spent like a decade broadly doing things that I actually loved in a lot of ways, but I was still asking like, what's my purpose in this grand way? So that has abated for me now, but I'm so grateful that I'm not someone who just kind of popped out of the womb with this great sense of knowing what I was doing on the planet and this inherent sense of mission, that I've actually been on a, you know, a journey that was sometimes really dark and long. And I feel like a lot of what I'm sharing about what, you know, purpose is not something that some people get to feel and other people don't get to feel. And, you know, there are moments that are too dark to feel it. And I resonate with those like nights of the soul. But something, you know, I think we're kind of bad at onboarding people to the human experience, right? Like I pop out of my mom's womb and I kind of wish she'd just been like, hello. I'm like, ooh, baba. She's like, well, so let's talk about your emotions. You're going to feel some good ones and some bad ones at the same time. And that is totally okay. You just say, thank you very much for whatever you have to share with me. You move on. And they go away. And that's what emotions are. They're just messengers. They come tell you stuff. And you say, thank you so very much for that message. And then we move right along, right? Mm-hmm. But there's so much that's kind of basic. And it's really just about how we are wired as, you know, biological storytellers that we don't kind of give people the heads up on. And for me, purpose is something like that. It's like, you know, I sure wish somebody had said, you know, P.S. like, you can be in charge of making your life feel more purposeful, and you don't have to be one of like God's chosen in whatever that means, right? You don't have to be popular. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to be anything. You don't have to be a chosen person with no mental difficulties. You don't have to be whoever you think you should be in order to get to live that way. And actually, like, it happens that modern society has alienated us often from one another in ways that we very easily miss simple ingredients, but just it is, you know, there is kind of like a formula, even though it's not, there's a formula for how to get there, even though there's not a formula for purpose. There's a formula for the frame. There's no formula for the picture, right? Where it's really just, again, I'm going to keep hammering it home. It's action on something that's meaningful to self and others. And I would just wish somebody had told me that, because you know what, if 20-year-old me who was sitting on the floor of, you know, a giant loft in Dumbo, wasn't actually giant, but like a kind of big loft in Dumbo, where I'm effectively living the Zooey Deschanel life. I basically, as I showed New Girl, I'm kind of like living in New Girl. Like I'm in like a big loft and I have two dude roommates and I have like an interesting job, but I just don't feel a sense of purpose. And I sit, and I look at my carpet and I like pick little fuzzball out of the carpet for like hours on end. And I'm just like, I'm in New York and I'm like, man, what am I doing here? Right. And if somebody had just like reached down and said, hey, great news, you don't even need to answer that question to feel the way you want to feel. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is find a place you want to put your energy that you value and others values too. So why don't we maybe go on a field trip, see what we can try, you know? Mm-hmm. And now that I know that, I'm a lot more assured in my unknowing, right, of the larger story. But anyway, some darker moments can be edited out. This is all kind of stemming from you talking about those difficulties. Some challenges in life are not escapable, and we can't find our gratitude. We can't find our choice. But also sometimes it's as simple as somebody putting a big road sign up on your door and kind of going, hi, walk this way. You'll be fine, you know? And for me, a lot of my life would have been, I would have had a lot more fun in my 20s. They handed me Heather Mountland's book. That's.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is that we, and there's a point in all of this, right? I truly believe that perhaps you had to go through what you had to go through in order to be where you are today. Right. And so, you know, and I don't want to dismiss the fact that, you know, what you went through was, you know, I don't know, you know, whatever feeling you emotionally you got from it, you know, doesn't justify. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that, like, certainly I've got certain life moments that just didn't go well.
Yeah, totally.
Where I wanted to go with my life. And looking back, I'm okay with it. I found ways to make meaning of it and why I had to deal with those circumstances in order to be the person I am. And I would not have regretted it, right? And so.
I think a better way, totally. So I love that you brought me back to that and kind of choosing our own experiences. Mm-hmm. I don't even regret that was part of my journey because I love.
Back then you were still trying to like, you were still in that mix and you didn't have that
I don't have to regret my journey to feel committed to creating more choices and different choices for people who are in similar situations, right? So just because like there's a lot of beauty from that choice, right? All these inquiries come from you know, years poking carpet fuzz. Mm-hmm. Right? But at the same time, I'm committed to creating a door, a sign for people who find themselves in a similar experience.
Right. Yeah. Haley, I feel like I could talk with you for hours on the subject of purpose and meaning. Unfortunately, we are above that time. I just have two questions. The first is, I know we, you know, when back and forth in terms of purpose and everything, and I didn't get a chance to definitely, you know, to answer the direct question, which is what is purpose? What does it mean to you?
Yeah.
And the second question is, where can people find you should they want to connect with you after being inspired listening to the show?
Find me on LinkedIn because I'm not on any other social media platforms. And send me a connection request with Kong's name. And I will add you and we will find each other in the digisphere.
Awesome.
That's it. And can I give a parting shot, which is just a Google search term recommended for everyone?
Yeah, go ahead.
You have tuned into this podcast on Haley's Unscripted Thoughts on Purpose. I suggest you Google, what is job crafting? Just Google it. You'll be glad you did. This is for those of you who, I don't know, have a job or maybe have bills. If you have bills and a job, this one's for you on the purpose train. That's it. Nothing else.
That's awesome, Haley. That's great. I really enjoyed this conversation with you, and I'm so happy that you took some time to, with us to contribute to this notion of purpose and meaning. And I've learned a lot about purpose in a different light. And just so happy that, you get to share this space with me authentically and be as, come as you are. As I, of course, that's the whole point of what this show is, really to inspire people to show up 100% and have the courage to do so, and find their own purpose, their own calling or true essence. And so, Haley, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it. Folks, if you guys enjoyed the show, please do add Haley on LinkedIn and make sure you click like on this episode and give us some ratings and review. I'd always appreciate any feedback you guys have. So thank you, folks.